come in.
Are you Laura Hagen?
Yes, madam. Is there something I can do for you?
Oh, that's for you to say. That's what I'm here to find out.
I see. Suppose you tell me what's on your mind.
Well, I've just recovered from a mass tort operation, and I think I'm a victim of malpractice. I want to get damages.
What makes you think that you're the victim of malpractice?
Take a good look at my eyes. Notice anything unusual about them?
Yes. One pupil is somewhat dilated, slightly larger than the other.
That's right, Mr. Hagen. So I think I ought to sue the surgeon for damages.
Well, now, Miss
Robinson. Linda Robinson.
Yes, well, Miss Robinson, that's an unfortunate but not unheard of sequelae, after effect of mastectomy. Pretty hard to blame anyone for it.
You mean I can't collect damages on it?
Yes and no.
Yes and no? Don't get you.
If I was collecting damages from the surgeon, no. If you play ball with me, Miss Robinson, you've got a great career as an accident artist.
Our radio play for this week, Accident Artist, is based on a story entitled Astonishing Revelations of a $125 Million Insurance Racket, which will be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the remarkable magazine which is read by more people than any other publication in the world. This vitally interesting and entertaining magazine is distributed each week with every Hearst Sunday newspaper.
Mr. Hagen, to see you, Mr. Millay.
I'll see him in a few moments, Miss Spears.
Okay.
Aaron Millay, claim adjuster for the Zenith Accident Insurance Company, turns from the annunciator and speaks to the quiet man sitting beside his desk.
Speak of angels, George. Hagen must have heard us talking about him and come over.
What's his purpose this time, Aaron?
The usual thing, representing some claimants and trying to get us to settle out of court. I give you my word, George, I don't understand how Hagen can locate all these accidents involving our insured.
Leave it to an ambulance chaser to dig up cases.
Yeah. But from the promptness with which he appears just after a report has been turned in, you'd think he was psychic.
Just seems to know when and where the next one's going to happen, eh, Aaron?
Hey. That may be more truth than poetry, George.
What do you mean?
You've hit the hammer with the nail, as the fella says. This guy Hagen seems to know about the next accident almost before it happens.
Aaron, you think that he...
Maybe. I ain't saying nothing just yet. I got to talk to him first. But if he didn't come here this morning to try to make some settlement on the Burns case, he must be representing some claim.
If that's true...
Then my suspicions will be more cemented, as the fellow says.
Oh, you mean concrete.
Concrete is cemented. What's the difference, George? Anyhow, I'll tell you more after I've got rid of Mr. Hagen. Now, look, George. Suppose you go into that office in there, huh?
Well, I'd sort of like to get a line on Lawyer Hagen.
Sure. Why not? Why? But how can an investigator do any investigating on a subject if the subject is introduced to him?
Well, you don't have to introduce me as an investigator. Just refer to me as Mr. Barr.
Yeah. But he'd be suspicious of anyone he met in here in my office. No, Jeff. The best thing is for you should go in there.
All right. Just as you say, Aaron.
Yes, Mr.
Millay. Send Mr. Hagen in.
Yes, sir.
Come in. Come in, Hagen.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Millay. Nice of you to see me so quickly.
Not at all. The sooner I see you, the quicker I get rid of you.
Always joking, aren't you?
To what do I owe the honor of this visit, Mr. Hagen?
It's an accident. Not bad? Not bad?
If it's your joke, you mean? No. But I have yet to find an accident case of yours that isn't there. Every woman client of yours has had her beauty disfigured for life, and every man has been cut down in his prime, causing his family to be without any means of support.
Well, judging from the canceled checks that have come back to you, Millay, my clients have only been demanding their rights.
Well, what is it this time? Still that Burns case?
The Burns case? Oh, no, I'll give you a day or so longer to come to terms on that. No, Millay, your company insures the Ulster's chain of restaurants, I believe.
Well?
I've been retained by Mr. Selby Taylor to represent him in a suit for damages.
Damages? For what?
I'm sure the Ulster's managers wouldn't like the newspapers to get hold of the fact that they serve pieces of broken glass in their orders of skinny.
Ulster's restaurants having a...
Yes.
Excuse me.
Certainly.
Yes? Oh. Good morning. Have you filled out a report? Okay. Just fill out the blanks, and don't worry. He'll handle the whole matter. Yes. Goodbye.
I suppose you were about to say that Oates' restaurants haven't ever served a customer with an order of spinach containing a broken glass.
That remains to be seen, Hagen. You'll have to investigate this before I can take the matter up to you.
All right, Malay. My client is willing to be fair about this. We'll give you a few days. But this stall isn't going to keep us from paying the damages.
We'll see what we shall see.
And believe me, you'll see plenty. My client has the pieces of glass and a number of eyewitnesses. Goodbye, Malay, for now.
Goodbye. And if you made it forever, I wouldn't be sorry. Good. Come in here quick.
Well, Aaron, I suppose Hagen arrived just as you received another accident report.
No, George. Listen, this time Hagen arrived before I got it.
What?
Can you beat it? While he was demanding a settlement for this latest client, the phone bell rang. It was our assured oldest reference, calling me to make a report of the threatened suit for damages.
Well, this one's a fake accident claim, or I can't spot him. Did you ask Hagen how he happened to know about it before you did?
I did not. I ain't such a fool as I look, George. I didn't want him to get wise that I suspected him of being mixed up in anything. You know, there's that old saying, George. Give a crook plenty of rope, and he'll hang somebody.
Good for you, Aaron. Here's where the investigation department keeps an eye on Lawyer Hagen.
Glenda, I guess you aren't sorry you came to me with your mastoidectomy troubles, eh?
I should say not. As I have mine, it's proved a gold mine.
Yeah, well, how about this sick rest of mine?
Well, we've all been able to pay our rent thanks to that, too, Flopper. But Glenda's deformed eye is more unusual than your ability to flop your wrist in and out of joint.
What do you mean?
Well, no contortionist in the world can simulate the symptom of a fractured skull, which is the dilation of the pupil of the eye.
Mr. Hagen's right, Flopper. And all I have to do is bite my lip till it bleeds and dab a little of it inside one of my ears. And every sore bone from Maine to California has fallen for the trick.
Oh, yeah? I bet I've sold my wrist more times than you've peddled your eye.
Oh, here. Now, don't start anything, you two. You've got something big lined up just now. A new accident artist can't waste time quarreling. Glenda, you haven't run up against the Zenith Insurance Company yet, have you?
Zenith? No, Mr. Hagen, I haven't.
How about you, Flopper?
Me neither, Chase.
Good. That makes this accident claim a cinch.
How do you mean, Mr. Hagen?
What's the setup, Chief?
Well, here we are at my office. I'll tell you as soon as we get safely inside. Come on, let's hurry. Jerry and the doc are waiting for us in the office.
Well, it's about time.
Oh, hi, Jerry. Doc?
Hi, Mr. Hagen.
You know Glenda and Flopper?
Hiya.
Turn on the radio, Glenda.
Right.
Never can tell who may be listening at the keyhole. Hey, Flopper, give me a hand pulling down the shade.
Sure, Chief.
Now, we've got to rehearse our little show. Jerry, you had your car insured with Zenith, like I told you?
Yep, 2 days ago.
Now, that's great. Now, Glenda, I want you to work the fractured skull act for me tonight.
Okay.
Flopper, throw out that wrist of yours and find that tourniquet on your arm to make it swell up.
Okie doke, Chief. Just leave it to me.
Before we leave here, Jerry and the doc give you a little going over with the usual barrel save. Here, you take this piece of sandpaper to scrape the size of your face.
Say, listen, Chief. Ain't it enough for me to throw me wrist out of joint? I don't care much for the rest of the act.
Now, that would be smart, wouldn't it? It's supposed to get bumped hard enough to break that phony wrist of yours, and yet you don't have any bruises or scratches. Now, nothing doing. You can't take any chances. Oh, and Glenda, you'd better scratch your knees and your chin.
Oh,
now, Doc, how about you?
Well, I believe it's safest to have an ambulance take them to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if there's a hit, Jerry can bring them to my office, and I can swear to the injuries personally.
Okay, we'll leave it that way, then. I'll have a couple of witnesses planted, and if the worst comes to the worst, and we have to sue, I can fix the jury. Now, Jerry, how about you? Know your part?
Sure. I just drive along North Avenue at 10 o'clock tonight.
That's right.
The street light will be busted in the middle of the block between 8 and 9.
Right.
When I strike the dark patch, I'm going to slam on my brakes.
Yes.
Flopper and Glenda will throw themselves down on the street behind my car.
Yes, and then?
And then I pull over to the curb and get out and see what's happened.
Thank you.
going to do for my client. There's that beautiful girl lying in the hospital with a fractured skull. And that poor boy's had to give up his work as an artist because of that broken wrist.
Yes, yes. I know it. It's too bad for them.
Too bad for them? Say, it's going to be too bad for your Zenith Insurance Company if you force me to take this case into court.
Oh, I don't think you'll take it to court, Hagen.
Oh, won't I? Say, I'll take it right up to the United States Supreme Court if you...
Excuse me.
Certainly.
Mr. Bard, is it you, Mr. Millay?
Good. I've been waiting for him. Send him in, please.
Yes, sir.
No, Mr. Hagen. I don't think you'll take this case anywhere.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Hello, George. Mr. Hagen, meet Mr. Barr of your investigation department. It's on Mr. Barr's report that I say you won't be taking this case anywhere. He says the whole accident is a fake.
Well, you'll have to prove that, Barr.
All right, if you insist.
You can't bluff me. I certainly do insist. When you don't prove your accusation, I'll sue you personally for libel.
Hagen, on the afternoon of the accident, hours before it happened, you were seen going into your office with the two victims.
I suppose it's grand larceny to be seen with clients.
You rehearsed the whole show, just as the accident occurred that night.
It'll take more than accusations and theories to prove that.
All right, here's the proof. Aaron, put this plug in that socket, will you?
Sure, Judge.
What's this contraption? An electric phonograph?
Yeah, something like that. It's a turntable and loudspeaker. It plays records. Ever heard your own voice, Hagen?
No, of course not.
Well, you're going to now.
What do you mean?
Listen.
Well, it's about time.
Hi, Jerry. Doc.
Hello, Hagen.
You know Glenda and Clopper?
Hiya.
Turn on the radio, Glenda.
Right.
You never can tell who may be listening at the keyhole. Yeah, Clopper, give me a hand pulling down the shade.
Sure, Steve.
Say, what kind of a trick is this?
Pretty smart one, I'd say. We had our microphone planted in your office, Hagen.
Quiet. Listen.
We got to rehearse our little show now, Jerry. You had your car insured with Zenith, like I told you?
Yes, 2 days ago.
That's great. Now, Glenda, I want you to work the fractured skull act for me tonight.
Okay.
Flopper, throw out that wrist of it.
Here. Why don't you knock that over for, Hagen?
The smash your only evidence. Now, where's your case?
You've only succeeded in smashing a copy of the evidence.
A copy?
Sure. We've got the original master record safe under lock and key.
Well, boys, what's your next move?
Our next move is to have you sent away with your pals, Hagen. The police are waiting for you just outside that door.
Yes. It's too bad you devoted your talents to being an accident artist, Hagen.
Yeah?
Yes. You should have been a radio artist. Your voice records something wonderful.
This radio drama to which you have just listened was taken from a story which is only one of the many fascinating features to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the world's greatest circulation. This magazine is distributed each week with every Hearst Sunday newspaper from coast to coast. And now we turn you over to your local announcer.
Mama, you must help me.
In trouble again, eh?
Yes, Mama, I must have some money at once.
I thought so. Where have the last 1,000 francs gone?
Now, Mama, I want the money, not a lecture.
No, you never did want what was good for you, Andre. I was a fool to humor you when you were a baby. I see now that I spoiled
Mama,
you.
Mama, please.
Yes, that's your old trick. Mama, please. And fool that I was, I'd relent and give you your way.
Mama, please stop talking and give me the money.
Money, money. What do you do with it all?
Well, a fellow can't make a hit with the girls unless he spends a little money and shows them a good time.
Well, I'll help you out of trouble this time, Andre.
Mama.